the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. They have been talking about this. Anglicans don't really argue. They just discuss. And they've been talking about it for almost 30 years. With the upcoming General Synod of the Church of England, the Archbishop, the new Archbishop, they're relatively new, Justin Welby, has, well, he's got his work cut out for him. He's trying to avoid something. And he's been working very hard to make sure that when they come together and meet, the issue of homosexuality has already been, well, kind of dealt with in advance of the General Synod. What's he trying to avoid? Joining us to answer this question and others about next month's General Synod of the Church of England, Bishop Keith Ackerman, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois, ambassador for Anglican and Ecumenical Affairs for the Anglican Church in North America. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
Oh, it's always a joy to hear your voice, and greetings to and blessings to all of our listeners.
He's got his work cut out for him, Archbishop Justin Welby. What's he trying to avoid next month?
Well, he doesn't want to use the S word, so he uses the H word. He doesn't want schism, but he can deal with heresy.
And how is he? Well, that's kind of quintessentially Church of England, and I want to come back to that. But how is he going about that? How is he trying to avoid schism in the Church of England over this subject?
Well, he's trying to, in effect, say, without succumbing to Americanism, that he subscribes to pluritruthisms. And that is that you have your truth, I have my truth, can't we all just get along, like the song just said is the intro. And the dilemma is that apparently he needs to go to Mount Carmel. And if we can go up to Mount Carmel and we can see Elijah there, maybe we will hear the question, how long can you keep limping with two truths? And it's just simply not possible. Truth is truth. Truth is not relative, nor is it subjective, it's objective. And therefore, he's trying to come up with a very Western way of dealing with things. And that is, if we can talk about it and we can agree to disagree, we can still come to the family reunion.
So this has been really many decades, several decades in the making. Give us the briefest of histories on the issue of human sexuality in the Church of England.
Well, the issue is that's something we don't talk about. We know that it happens in some quarters, but we just won't say too much about it. Next step, there's nothing wrong with committed relationships. After all, don't we all want to be committed in some particular way? We're not asking for marriage. We're just asking for a blessing. Next step, what do you mean blessing? Blessing's not good enough. We want marriage. We want to be able to have the rights and privileges. Next step, nobody will have to believe this as long as we can get along together. Next step, I'm sorry, but there is now only one point of view. Even though they're not related as subject matter, nonetheless, track it with the ordination of women. Same methodology, same plan, same mode.
Where are we in that process right now when it comes to the Church of England?
Where we are right now is that the Church of England is thinking as if it were an independent province. It keeps forgetting that even though it may have within the Archbishop of Canterbury, the primus inter pares, first among equals, that the Church of England is in fact merely one of the 38 provinces of the Anglican Communion. However, it does have the bully pulpit, as it were. Even though it's one of the most rapidly shrinking provinces in the Anglican world, when it comes from England, people still genuflect.
Then, if you could, kind of paint the picture for us. At least according to the press release, there are going to be 550 representatives from around the world. They're going to break up into, I guess, what we call small groups for 3 days of intensive and personal discussions about sexuality. Obviously, there are going to be differences of opinion here. How is this supposed to lead to an agreement to disagree? Is this really kind of a veiled strategy simply to say, if we talk long enough face to face, we won't have the guts to call the heresy a heresy or to call it quits on our fellowship?
Well, one of the incredible things we do in the West is we have an idea that if you talk to somebody long enough and you get to like them, that you would never vote against them because they're so nice. And that what we do is we personify everything. We personify every issue, and then we put a face there, and it's in effect saying, how could you vote against Billy and Sammy? And so that it's partly a strategy, but it's also a misused form used in Africa called the Indaba system. And Archbishop Welby is well acquainted with that because much of the work that he did in the secular world, if you will, before he was in seminary, before he was ordained and then later consecrated, was to go in and to affect in business what I would call peace treaties, ways of being able to get companies to work together. And I think what you see here is he is employing the same methodologies that worked in the business world. But the difference is in the business world, there is not revealed objective truth. And so therefore, you cannot employ methodologies that are that come out of a kind of democratic understanding of faith. It's still the majority of one. Whatever God says, whatever he decides, our job is to catch up with it. It's attempting to apply the Hegelian dialectic with the assumption that the thesis and the antithesis are equally weighted, therefore all synthesis is good. So therefore it falls down because it's not proceeding from real and objective truth.
Is the strategy going to work? You have watched this archbishop after archbishop attempt in one form or another to avoid this moment. Will they be able to avoid schism?
Well, I think that other churches have not been sending enough thank you notes to the Church of England for contributing so many people. Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church ought to be sending annual thank you notes to the Church of England, because as the Church of England continues, as the Episcopal Church does, to find ways that the people can get together, get along well, and be polite, but they recognize that there are those of us who simply couldn't stay any longer, and we left. It's just the reality. So I suppose, to put it this way, if you were in a very large gathering of people, and there was discord, so you just simply had those who were in disagreement leave, I guess eventually there would be a small group of people who could agree.
What's the biggest challenge that that Welby faces from within the Church of England, or really from the other provinces of Anglicanism, I should say, when it comes to trying to strike this balance of agreement and disagreement? About 1 minute.
I would say that he's going to discover that even though Anglicans have always seen that being in communion with the See of Canterbury is essential for a legitimate form of ecclesiology, that there will be those who will remember that there were times in the church of course of history, church history, when we had anomalous situations where people were not in communion with a particular see because they had to make a choice between being out of communion with that see or living consonantly with truth.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is a former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois. He's ambassador for Anglican and Ecumenical Affairs for the Anglican Church in North America. Bishop Ackerman, it's always a pleasure, and thank you very much for the update.
God bless you. Always a privilege to be with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series looking forward to feasts and festivals, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Peter and Paul. I can't think of a bigger day for kind of the New Testament saints than Peter and Paul. Maybe a remembrance of the Virgin Mary, but next to that, you really have to have Peter and Paul remembered together as two very different apostles, but both called by the same Jesus Christ, men who at one time or another, although they agreed in the gospel, found themselves on opposite sides of how they thought that gospel ought to be applied and lived out in the church. Of course, Paul is able to call Peter to repentance on that issue. We'll be talking about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. We'll discuss narcissistic hijacking of Bible stories with Pastor Chris Rosebro, and we'll get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation, but as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues Etc. regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis, but thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.